Thank you very much. Thank you, Mathis and the young musicians. Thank you. God bless you all. Today I'm going to talk about making a vow before God. You will have heard this message in another contest or similar contest about 5 Sundays back. But I feel I should bring it before you to energize you, to encourage you. Because our God is the God of the impossible. Yes. Amen? And you see, it's not great to read this Bible and take it as a historical account, or take it as a theological thing, or read it and think, oh yeah, it is in the Bible, but it's got to be your reality. You understand that?
Reality.
Thank you, Brother Paul. It's got to be your reality. Please, can you take the vibrations out? Thank you. Now we're going to read Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. Genesis 31, verse 13. It says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me, now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Leave this land at once and go back to your native land. This is God speaking to Jacob. 20 years earlier, Jacob had made a vow before God and said, God, if only you will be with me. If only you give me food to eat and clothes to wear. If only you give me peace and security. If only you take me to that place and bring me back safely. Then I will make a vow to you. And he did. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Now God has said the same thing or similar thing in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 31. He said, I am your God. Jacob, I am your God. Arise and go to your land. Right now. So for God to repeat something in a short space of time to Jacob means God means serious. God said, arise and go back to your land. Remember his prayer. If you will bring me back to my father's land, you'll be my God. So today I want you to understand that God wants you to arise from where you are and go to your destiny. Amen. God wants you to be in your destiny. Some of us or some of your destinies have been misplaced. Where you are is not what God wants you. The limitless God, the boundless God wants you to be where he wants you to be. But it's for you to know. And it's for you to hear his voice and go to where you are. Because at that point, Jacob did not like the condition in which he was in. Even though there was so much for him, going good for him, yet the condition was not right. The vibe in the atmosphere was not good. And he knows he had to leave. Some of you have been in some jobs for far too long. The atmosphere is poisonous. And you're still there. You're still staying there until you die. Physically, you may not, but your soul will be dead because you become bitter, you become hurt, you become broken, and you begin not to like the job. And that is a sign that you don't have to be there. Arise at once and go back to your native land, your father's land. That means go back to where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Now, making a vow is one of the most powerful prayers and statements that will come out of the mouth of anyone who worships God. And God always remembers a vow. When God appeared to Jacob and made that statement, he was exceedingly prosperous with resources and people, to the extent that his father-in-law, Laban, was also blessed because of Jacob's presence in his house. Let's do some reading from Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, if we can have it. That'll be helpful. NIV will just say some word that I have to correct because the scholars just couldn't get it. It reads from New King James Version, and now let me read from this so that you can know that I'm reading from the scripture. And Laban said unto him, meaning Jacob, I pray thee. Okay, they've changed. This is smart, guys. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry. That means stay here. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Let me bring it to modern language a little bit. That is okay for King James. But let's say New King James Version. He said, and Laban said to Jacob, please stay with me. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. You see, Laban, that is Jacob's father-in-law, learned that he was blessed because of the presence. He said, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, Jacob made a vow, and God honored that vow. God prospered him. And because of him, Laban was prospered as well. So after 20 years, when Jacob's children were really upset that, Laban's children, that means Jacob's brothers-in-laws were so upset that this man was becoming exceedingly prosperous, they became jealous of him. Even though they have been prospered, their father has been prospered, and everything that the father had was theirs, yet they were jealous of Jacob. And then they went to turn the heart. They just want to just chit-chat behind the scene, knife. And then the father-in-law, Laban, also got upset with Jacob for no reason. He didn't even know why he was upset with him. So Jacob said, if you're upset with me, I'm going to my father's house. And you know what he said? He said, please, if I have found favor with you, then please stay with me, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. You see, now God wants us all to prosper in all things and be in health as our soul prospers. So, sometimes some of you don't like to prosper because, oh, let's prosper to gospel. I don't want it. But you want to live in poverty and the state to feed you? Somebody is putting the money there. If you don't like what to prosper, then don't get from the state, and you're going to die. You understand that? So God wants us to prosper in all things. 3 John 2, he says that. This is just a little bit of a recap for you. To prosper, write it down, that's my definition. To prosper means to have enough to live on and in abundance. That is, to have it in excess so that you will not lack. To prosper is to have enough to live on and in abundance, to have it in excess so that you will not lack. It is the will of God to prosper you, my brothers and sisters. Prosperity for the believer has to be in all things, not only in money. You got to prosper even in your health. Because this quotation from 3 John 2 said, I pray that you prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. That's why we talk about inner healing and deliverance. Because some of you are broken. Because the way you behave, the way your life is, actually can tell that behind the scenes, sometimes you've gone through some difficult and challenging situations in your life. Sometimes you are very quiet, and not because you are quiet, but something may be troubling you. Sometimes you're quiet simply because there's something in the generation that everybody in your family either go through divorce or have some particular sickness or illness or something that is bothering them, and you have no solution because it is not medically detected or medically resolved, and therefore the solution is spiritual. That is what inner healing and deliverance is about. Like Irene said, if you come and your heart is opened, you get healed. Because Jesus Christ came, that will be healed. And when John wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, this is just coming through my head, and I thought I should quote you. When he did that, he says, I pray that both your body, your soul, and your spirit will be healed and presented blameless before God. So that means God is interested in our whole being, holistic. That is what it means to prosper. So what is it great for you to be a Christian, raising up your hand and praising God, and somewhere along the line, you're so, so poor that you can't pay your bills? You put into non-effect the work of the cross, because Jesus Christ became poor so that you'll be rich. What's the point that, you're constantly sick, constantly sick, constantly sick. You make the work of the cross of none effect, because the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. You are taking that from Isaiah 53. What is the point that curse? Curse is a pattern of behavior that happens in one's life or one family or one's home. Time and time again, the same thing happens. And my father was this, and he died of that. And my uncle was this, and he died of that. And this is this. Oh, why is it repeating? The Bible tells us that God took Jesus Christ on the cross. He took our curse so that we'll be free. Hallelujah. That is why we are encouraging you, a Christian. We don't want only nice Christians. We want serious and powerful Christians. Christians that are free, who can actually minister properly. You see, sometimes you go to churches and there's always problems and there's argument and there's always fighting. You know what? People are broken out there. There's something working in their lives. Their souls are messed up. Their life journey has gone through so much that they need to be set free. That's why we're here. We want to set you free. We're not here in competition with anybody to say this is the best church or anything. We are here to make sure that we'll do what Christ told us to do. That we set captives free. That we'll heal the sick. That we'll speak with new tongues. Some of you are worried about it. Come to a new life, new beginning, supernatural encounter. And when you open your heart, you speak with new tongues. And that is power. Because Acts 1, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You shall receive power. How is it that now we can actually rebuke the devil and he can flee? How is it that people who've been tormented by Satan, we speak to them and demons come out of them? How is it that we set people free from spirit of suicide and all sort of things? You people have no idea what is going behind the scene in this church. It is happening. And people are coming from far and near to come and tap into this. And you have this privilege. So tap into that, because God is great. That is the power that God releases. When he gives you that spirit of tongues. Some of you only speak for tongues to edify yourself. And you speak to God. That is great. But it's got to release power for you. Is that all right? Yes. Because Jesus Christ himself said, you shall speak with new tongues. Not me. It's in scripture. And if you want to be obedient, we say, give it to me. I don't want to digress too much from what I'm saying. It is the will of God to prosper you. Prosperity for the believer has to be in all things. So, Bramwell, turn to the next person and say, God wants me to prosper in all things. And say it to each other. Thank you. God wants you to prosper in all things. And as you've said it with conviction. And therefore, hear what your own friends, brothers, or your neighbors are saying to you. God wants you to prosper in all things. Jacob understood this. Therefore, Jacob made the vow for what he wanted to see in his life. The vow he made was for things yet to be fulfilled. He saw the outcome. That's the substance of it. He saw the substance of his vow far before it actually came to pass. Jacob made a vow on the background of his life being under a threat. When he made this vow, he wasn't actually kind of having a party or something. His life was under threat by his brother Esau. His brother Esau wanted to kill him. At that same time, Jacob was going to on a long journey to get a wife, which you mean he's going to have to make a financial commitment. See, some of you marry some women easy. You see, in some cultures, you have to pay money. Is that right? Yes. Mama, your culture, they give a cow?
A lot more.
Oh, my goodness. Good Lord. All right, then. I only have girls, right? So I may have a lot more cows. Right. I'm sure they take this money not because they want that money, but they want you to know that they value their children, and you must value them too when you marry them, and don't abuse them. That's the whole principle. It's not so much about a cow. They can get one themselves, but they want you to value the women that you are taking and treat them good as their parents would treat them good. So men over here in this house, make sure that you treat women well. And if your woman and your husband is not treating you well, ask them, how many cows did you pay? If they didn't pay any cow, probably they just misbehave. But please tell them that, look, you are precious, and God wants you to prosper in all things. So he was going to take a wife. So he was going to make a huge financial outlay. So it's like going to buy a house or something. But the defining moment for him was a powerful revelation and an encounter he had of the Lord when his eyes were open to the supernatural things of God. He suddenly saw the heavens open, and he saw a ladder and angels going up and down, and he saw the Lord standing right at the top. That was a man who was in trouble. That was a man who was thinking about how much money he's going to spend. He had problems like you do, but then he opened his heart to see God, and he saw God. So I just want to encourage you that with our vision in this house is for us to see God and open our heart to know him and know him up close and personal, because God is supernatural. We want that. So in spite of your problems, in spite of your financial situation, in spite of everything, we want to do that. Let's read Genesis chapter 28, verse 22 and see what it says. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Hallelujah. The defining moment made that vow before God in spite of his situation. And his situation was that Jacob made a vow for a protection, because he needed protection, didn't he? He made a vow for provision. He was talking about clothes and food. He was making a vow for the presence of God, if you will be with me. He was making a vow for prosperity. He was making a vow for peace. He wanted to realize his destiny so that he can serve you. The Lord will be my God. That means I will serve you. So 20 years on, God still remembered Jacob's vow. 20 years, God remembered that. God did not wait until the end of 20 years. He remembered that all the time. If you want to see all these things in your life, protection, provision, presence of the Lord, prosperity, peace, realizing your destiny, and serving God faithfully, you should make it with a vow, like Jacob did, for a vow is powerful. God remembers the vow we make and link it to his possibilities. We said he's a limitless God. He's a boundless God. He is the I am. So you link it to his possibility to perform his word. That means God remembers the vow and shows that the purpose for which it was made will be fulfilled and come to pass. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. What made Jacob's vow powerful and credible was that he sowed into it. He made that vow and said, I will sow into it, with the commitment that for all that comes into my hand, I'll give a tenth to the Lord. In other words, Jacob saw his future in the now. He saw that something is going to come into his hand. At that time, he wasn't working. He was going to take a wife. He didn't know whether he was going to go on a 2-month journey and then pick a wife and come back the next day. But then he said, whatever comes to my mind. He didn't know that that big job was going to come to him. He didn't know that promotion was coming to him. He did not know that that business is going to take off and prosper. He did not know that his investment is going to be mature or shrink. But he said, for all that come into my hand, I'll give a tenth to you. That he made with a vow. Because with God, all things are possible. Jacob saw his future in the now. What is a vow? Let me recap this from the last preach. A vow is one of the ancient laws of the supernatural to prosper people. We know that from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 27 to 29. Fast forward. A vow is a covenant, a faith promise for the future with the condition of paying it back to God. In other words, a vow is a promise, a pact, a covenant, a commitment to pay it back, a credit line open with the promise that you will pay it in the future. So that means you are saying, you know what, I'm making a vow now, but I'll have the commitment to pay in the future. But God remembers that because the vow has power. The vow has God's name on it. The vow has God's credibility on it. The vow was saying, for all that come to my hand, I'll give a tenth to you. The vow is saying that, and you'll be my God, and you'll serve me. He made that vow with a purpose. And the power of it is that it authorized God to go into your future by the way of credit. God blesses you by advancing you with the credit to walk in the now. A credit line in the heavenly treasures. You see, when he made that vow, he never knew that 20 years on he would be incredibly, exceedingly prosperous. He hadn't even paid up his vow, but God started to bless him. God started to bless him. From the day that he made his vow, God blessed him. God took him safely to Haran, to his father's brother, his father, what was his father-in-law? Laban was his mother's family, right? So his father-in-law eventually. God took him safely. We're talking about over 1,000 miles of trekking only with your servant and with possibly some a little bit of money in a sack. If you're in some countries, they will rob you. And on the desert, there were people who could hurt you. And yet God protecting him step by step by step, and he reached that place. And when he reached that place, he found the house that he was going to go to because he met somebody whom he said, I am from this place. I'm looking for that man. And they took him straight. God directed his path. Hallelujah. Because of that vow. So he authorized God to go into his future. Another way to look at it is that God is saying, I will honor the purpose for which you have made the vow now, even before you pay it back. This was Jacob's experience and reality. Can we read it in Genesis chapter 30, verse 43? In this way, the man grew, meaning Jacob grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flock and maidservant and menservant and camels and donkeys. So we are thinking about serious things, right? He became exceedingly prosperous. In this way, he became exceedingly prosperous in that way of his vow. A vow is therefore the easiest way to access the heavenly inheritance. So I would say use that one. Because when you buy on credit, you know something from accounting point of view and from your own views, you know that what you do, that you go to the shop, you sign the paper. You know, that you've signed, you've made a commitment. You've made a vow. But not to God, but to the shop owner, but the owner of the business. You've made a vow, a commitment. You've made a covenant that I will pay. So they advance you the credit, and they give you the good. They give you the high purchase car. You're driving your car, and you haven't paid for it. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. It is wonderful. Don't be afraid and be so religious. Driving a new car is good. You smell the leather and you think, that's good. That's fresh. But you have to pay the vow. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed so far?
Yes.
Give me a few minutes and I'll press on a little bit because I want to finish it. And then we'll pray. Now, so what am I saying? Every believer has a spiritual inheritance, and that can be accessed by faith. You can accept that by faith with a vow. This transition the believer with nothing into abundance, and this is made with a vow. You have nothing. Jacob had nothing. And yet we said, this man grew exceedingly prosperous. Was he looking for that job? Was he looking for that promotion? Was he looking for that investment to suddenly mushroom in the midst of Brexit? Was he looking for that? Yes, because he was sowing into the heavenly kingdom and authorizing God to go into his future by way of the heavenly credit. And that was a vow. Hallelujah. The power behind the vow. You can take this as a second point. Our 5 points. The Lord will bring your future into the now. A vow causes God to step into the future and manifest it in the now. You don't have to have anything now, but God will remember what you have covenanted to do and to give in his house, and he will prosper you because what you said is that of all that come into my hand, I will sure give a tenth to you. The word is, I will sure give a tenth to you. It may feel like, oh dear, that is a tenth of my salary. Yes, try God and see. He's the God who is limitless. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God who is boundless. He's the God that all things are possible. I am a living example of God. Amen. Or put it this way, I'm a living example of what God would do, in case you're thinking I'm saying I'm God. But if I'm a child of God, then probably I should have his spirit, isn't it? In other words, Jacob saw his future as better than what he was then, so he brought it into the now with a vow. Jacob went ahead 20 years to bring forth what he wanted to see with a vow. Yeah, 20 years. How do I know that? It's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 31, verse 38 and verse 41. Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 and 12. We love to quote Bible scriptures because these are true. Yeah. So, Jacob see his future as better than it is right now. And Lord, since you've said the big amen, turn to your wife and say, I see my future as better than what it is right now. Now you all repeat it to somebody behind you. I see my future as better than what it is right now. One more time. I see my future as better than what it is right now. One more time. I see my future as better than what it is right now. Amen. And believe it. Don't settle for that. Your future must be better than what it is right now. And I'm standing there, I'm thinking, our future as a church is better than what it is right now. And my future is better than what it is right now. By this time, many people will be thinking about they are retiring. You know what? I ain't going nowhere. Bramwell loves that. Because he was worried, oh God, this man, since he's been traveling, I'm going to be the pastor. Don't worry. I won't settle with you such burden, right? Our future is better than what it is right now. And that is what Jacob did. Number 3, a vow teaches you or causes you to prosper. That is what Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 tells us. That God teaches us to prosper. He teaches you to profit. That is the word to use in some translation. God teaches you to profit. The moment you make a vow, and because of it, God teaches you to profit, you begin to have great ideas. Hallelujah. To make profit like never before, if you are faithful, because the vow is activating the profit which is in you. In everything you do, you have a profit. God thought Jacob that way. You know what? When Jacob was in his father's house, now God said, now look at all those goats that are mating and are strong. You can see they are speckled. So you just go and then put a stick in front of them. Let them, as they mate, let them look at it. And all the offspring will become speckled, and that will be your price. So he goes to his father-in-law and says, you know what? Now, if you are going to pay me, you know what I want? I want white and black is yours. Brown and green is yours. But the speckled ones are mine. The father said, okay, I'll look around and most animals are black or white or brown or whatever color it is. And if you want the speckles, have it. And guess what? Most of them came speckled. God gave Jacob that vision to profit. So there he became prosperous. Amen? And when his father-in-law said, oh gosh, everything is becoming speckled. So what do I do? God gave him another plan as to what to do. And he did that. And this man, as the Bible tells, in chapter 30 of Genesis, verse 43, say that now, and the man, in this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flock and maid servants and men servants and camels and donkeys. He had nothing. Because of the vow, God taught him how to prosper. So sometimes you are sitting here and thinking, God, what is the new business idea? If God will be with me, if God will look after me, if God will protect me, if God will see me in this job, this investment, this decision, this business, this place that I am, if God will see me that I'll prosper in this marriage I'm going to go into, if God will see me in this exam that I'm going to do it, then, and bring me back to my destiny, then whatever God gives me, I'll give a tenth to you. And that is the reality of Jacob. We call him and say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Is that the same God that you worship? So we are talking about the God of Jacob today. And he is your God. He's your father's God and he's your God too. So we teach you these principles, not as a theory thing, but it's an activation. And then we're soon going to pray so that we can activate you for God to actually honor his word in your life. Hallelujah. Fourth point, a vow will remove demonic powers from your life. You see, demonic opposing powers to your prosperity will be cut off when you make a vow, because you are supposed to be the kings of this earth and the kings in your realm. That means the person who rules, the big man. You're the guy who's supposed to be prosperous. You're the guy who's supposed to be actually most favored in whatever situation that you find yourself in. And that is what God is saying. That every spirit of financial delay will be cut off because of the power of a vow. God will cut off the spirit of princes because of your vow. The vow has the power when you make it with all your heart, even when your life is on the line. Psalm 76, verse 11 and 12, in case you're thinking I'm just plugging them from the air. That is exactly that. And you see, at a time that we are talking about, the time span that's 20 years on, the guy has become so prosperous. And as I said earlier on, his brothers-in-laws were upset. His father-in-law was upset. But his father-in-law was an idol worshiper. And therefore, if an idol worshiper is upset, watch your back. They can bring the power of darkness over your resources. What were they upset about? Because they were upset that he was getting money. And they will make sure that you lose it. How many times you've been in a job and you've been promoted, been given probably only about £500 more and a little bit of bonus, and somebody is not happy with you and they want you to lose your job? They want to eat you out. How many times have you done something that is going so well and your next door neighbor is not happy and they want you to fall? These are powers that want to eat you out. And that was exactly what was happening in Laban's home. And Jacob would have been a victim of it if it hadn't been that he's made a vow to God that if God, if you prosper me, if you bring me back to my father's house safely, then of all that I have, I'll give a tenth to you. So it will literally remove demonic powers from you. So none of the idols in Laban's house was able to have an influence upon Jacob, because he said, then I will serve you. And we serve God with that. Jacob was in fear of being killed. If you think about Jonah, he was also in the belly of a fish. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And he prayed These two made a vow and God got them out of the situation. Your vow can get you out of the hell you are in right now. God will bring you and your family out of the hellish situation you find yourself in right now. I don't know how many times that I was in the position of people said, people like you ought not to be in this position. They say it's so straight to your face and it's so painful. People like me, what do I look like? Two heads? People like you are not supposed to have this kind of position. And sometimes you do some consultancy and even payment clerk will not even pay your invoice because they say you're getting too much money. They say it to your face. So painful, hellish situation. But you see, all this while, I've made my vow to God. And I've got everything that I'm due to have. Last point, a vow will cause your enemies to be utterly destroyed. The Israelites had many enemies, but they said, we want God to hear our prayers. Our enemies who stand in the way need to be destroyed. But how? Their voices was amplified because God heard that, and their enemies were totally destroyed. That's in Numbers chapter, 21, verse 2 and 3. The people of Israel were walking into the land of Canaan, and the Canaanites were there. Some of them were strong. They were their giants. They were so petrified. Oh, God, what do we do? And guess what? They said, God, if only. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord. If you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. The Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their town, so the place was named Hamath. It's a place of destruction. So God will cause your enemies to be utterly destroyed. Your voice is about to resound in the heavens because you are about to make a vow. Your voice is resounding in the heavens already. Every prayer you are praying, every sacrifice you are making is resounding in the heavens. Your vow has power. Your enemies are being destroyed. God will amplify your voice and you will see the vow is amplifying your voice. God is hearing in the heavens concerning everything you are praying about today. You will see the result, and that is what the word of God says, and that is what the vow that Jacob made to the Lord meant. And the Lord heard the voice of Israel, and he delivered their enemies into their hands because the vow had power. Today your enemies are falling before you. They will be devoured and destroyed before your face. The moment you make that vow is the beginning of your breakthrough, a sudden burst of supernatural action for the result that you want. Because certain things, there are spirits of delay. It's as if there's a blockade. But as you pray, then there's a sudden burst. I mean, some of us were praying on Friday, and Tracy before then had sent me a note that, oh, we don't have a keyboard player, but I'm praying, and I'm really trusting to get in touch with someone and see, I want you guys to pray. You know what? Hey, Mathis, you want an answer to our prayer? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And just about 15 minutes before we finished the prayer, a message came and said, hey, someone is coming. And he's an answer to our prayer, right? And some of you musicians are sitting right here. You need to allow God to release you right now so that we can have fresh worship in this house. The moment you make your vows, the beginning of your breakthrough. The breakthrough will come because you pay your vows. If you make the vow and you don't pay it, God has no pleasure in fools. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 46. The moment you pay it, that is when your breakthrough comes. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have our musicians on the stage. Now we're going to pray. And we're going to give our offering right now. Hallelujah. Please hurry up, be quick. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our musicians are going to sing. Whilst the music is making sound behind us, we're preparing our offering. But I want you to hear this before you start preparing your offering. may be asking, how do I make a vow? Even as you are thinking about your offering, you may be asking, how do I make that vow? How big?